This episode of Masters of the Cinematic Universe is brought to you by Mo DeWitt and DeWitt Law Firm. Maybe you get in an accident chasing down a homicidal liquid metal machine from the future, or a time-traveling car sends you skidding into a truck full of manure. Perhaps a homicidal child cracks your skull open with a paint can this holiday season. Mo understands that every case is unique. If you're injured on the go, just call Mo.
Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Masters of the Cinematic Universe. I'm Joe. And that's Doug and Eric. And I don't know why I said it like that, but we're all here today.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't go changing the fucking intro after 3 years.
Don't give me
a stroke.
Don't go changing waterfalls. Stick to the rivers and lakes I'm used to. Is that what you're saying?
Listen, I know you're going to have it your way or nothing at all, but I think you're moving too fast.
Look, I don't want no scrubs.
Wow.
Yep.
That was flawless, by the way. That's what you call entertainment. You are welcome, people. We're doing a movie today, guys. We're not doing another masterclass. I know you got two in a row there, but you're welcome.
Yeah, I'm happy. We're doing a movie.
Yeah, we are. So please don't get violent, whatever you guys do.
No, actually, before we start, I gotta come clean to you guys about something. We've known each other for a few years. You know me as Eric Pabone.
What?
I mean, that's the front that I've put on. I gotta come clean, man. I gotta tell you, that's not my real name.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What's your real name?
It's Eric Paboner.
Well, I mean, I knew that. Come on. We just call you Pabone for short. The ER is silent.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm Hispanic, so there's like a little thing about me, you know.
Yeah, so you're going to tell me his name is Doug Christ.
Yeah. I've been hiding it all this time.
But yeah, we're doing a movie that for some reason I've seen only the first half of, like,
oh jeez,
like 10 times. I never made it past. I don't know why. It wasn't like that I didn't enjoy it. It's just, I guess it was happenstance.
Oh, I assumed this was only half a movie because the credits came on at what was seemed to be the halfway point. like it took me by surprise when I got there. I'm like, wait, it's over? Like, what the fuck? Like, how's that? That's the whole movie? Like,
they fucking Sopranos to you, bro.
Dude, this is like, yes, a British TV show. It gets one season and it's done.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
What is new, my compatriots?
Well,
go ahead, Eric.
All right, what's new? What is it? It's February, end of February. Have some shows coming up with TV Generation. One that I'm stoked about is Hourglass Brewing. Our buddies at Hourglass Brewing, Brett, the owner, is putting on a show on my birthday, which is March 16th. And it's three bands. We are one of them. One of them is Brett's band. And all of the members of that band are employees of Hourglass Brewing.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They play metal. And they're called Girth Brooks. Which is just fucking, it's fucking beautiful. And they describe themselves as playing a genre of music called pizza core.
Okay.
Which is heavy music about pizza. So,
all right.
I love this band already. Like, I've never even heard them, and I love them.
I love Unique, and that's unique as hell, man. So I'm pumped. I'm really excited for that show. We got another one at Lou's in April for, you know, supporting a band that's touring out of somewhere, Detroit or something. So, just been doing stuff with the band, been writing a record, and doing the art stuff, and life has been crazy. You know what's fucked up about today? I got two words for you. Florida. Maybe that's three
that,
words.
That, no. That works. I got everything
words.
About that works.
Florida. No. Florida yard care is just fucking brutal. And it's not even hot out. It's just being out in the sun for that long. Oh, it just does.
I spent a lot of time in the sun this week. I fucking giant roof I've been stacking panels at. Ugh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And see, I'm
but it was beautiful like, out though. Like
it was that's what drew us out initially. It was like, oh, it's a beautiful day. We can get this done. We are the style of millennial that doesn't care about our lawns. So I know like there's two camps. There's, you know, the lawn is everything camp, and then there's like the trash person camp, which is a camp I belong to, which is like if we're in an HOA neighborhood, we're getting a letter. Like it's coming. And it was fucking bad out there. It was like Jurassic Park in the backyard. It was ugh. There was just shit growing everywhere, dude.
I'm with you.
I founded the trash lawn camp.
There you go.
Yes. Yes. The thing is, I want to have a nice lawn. I just can't seem to get it to work.
No, I don't want to have a nice lawn. No.
Yeah, I don't give a single fuck. I really don't.
Look, so there was eventually I'm just going to plant banyan trees everywhere and call it a day.
It looks really nice right now. I don't know how long that's going to last, but there was this fucking... Our yard had gotten so bad over such a gradual period of time that we sort of just accepted that's the way it was. And it wasn't until we saw a picture of the backyard when we moved into this house that we were like, holy fuck. Used to be grass back there and shit.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah, man. It was brutal. And then my neighbor, like, you know, it's one of those home improvement situations where we can both see each other over the fence kind of.
Yes.
He took pity on me because I don't have the proper tools for this shit. So, yeah. Like, there's branches, like low-hanging branches on a tree that I'm trying to saw with, like, this tiny little fucking bullshit saw, you know? And he just...
Like, eventually just started
handing me tools, like, lawn tools and shit. He's like, here, man, like, fucking...
Finally gonna not embarrass me? Yeah.
Not that guy. That's my neighbor on the other side. Oh, man. The day to remember guy. I love that. He was very impressed with, you know, just like the guitar sound and the pedal and all that stuff. And
cool
to have that backstory. If you as a listener is confused, my neighbor was mowing his lawn and I was out in the garage one day. This was like a while ago, like over a year or two ago. And I noticed the shirt he was wearing was a Day to Remember shirt. And if you're not aware, Joe was one of the founding members of the band A Day to Remember. In fact, Joe is responsible for the name of the band.
That's about all I was responsible for, but I was responsible for that, which I feel was like a pretty big fucking thing. Cause like that's
a big slice of it. Yeah,
it is.
So I quick snapped a picture of the back of his shirt just to fuck with Joe, you know? And but yeah, so he doesn't play guitar, but if he did, he would love to have you build him a pedal. You know what I mean?
A lot of people would love that now that I'm not doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I get asked all the time.
You're not going to come out of retirement anytime soon?
I'll make one here and there if somebody really wants it. Like if I get requests, I'll build them. But I'm not like proclaiming it anymore.
Okay. What about you, Doug? You gonna dabble?
It all depends, man. I'm out of components now.
Oh no, I still have everything to do. Everything. Yeah, I don't.
I'm short on stuff, so I don't have to actually order shit to do it, and I don't know if I have that in me.
Oh, I can just send you a bunch of shit. You can have it because I have too much.
Yeah. No. So I doubt it's happening on my side.
I actually want to clean off the shelf that all the shit's on, so I can put puzzles on it. Because I'm doing really well building puzzles. I wish people would buy puzzles I build.
Are you going to like glue and mount those and put them in frames like a real old man?
See, I thought about doing that, but then I was like, I want to build them again. So like, if I do that, I only get the ability to build it one time. So I was like, yeah, fuck that.
Oh man, we gotta have an intervention. My man just sat there and said like, I don't want the fun to stop.
I like puzzles. What can I say?
Because there are no more puzzles. Joe has all the puzzles and he's built them all.
I've got quite a few.
That's what I mean. It's like you can always buy another puzzle, and like if you want to mount the one you built, you know.
The only one I think I may end up, I took it apart, but I'll have to build it again to do it, is that Series 1 Marvel trading card puzzle. I may do that one because it's just too fucking cool.
That was dope, man. That was perfect.
Yeah. Especially since I have the cards.
But per Doug's request, you just buy one to keep, you know, as like the one I'm going to build over and over again, and one to frame.
Also, right. I don't have that much space in my walls.
Yeah, that's true.
What would be kind of cool though is if I just did the wall as wallpaper, like put the puzzles like directly onto the wall, not frame them, but like put them on the
there
wall
you
like
go. Paper. You're onto something.
That would be pretty cool. So I would not be mad.
I like my whole that. Back wall would just be puzzles.
I like it, dude. Fucking go for it.
Mm-hmm.
You've already got half of it done, right?
Yeah.
You've built like a shit ton of those.
Oh, I took them all apart and put them back in the Ziploc bags.
Well,
I didn't keep them built.
That's true. They take up a lot of space. Yeah. We're digressing into your, I'm trying to bust your balls, but what's new with you, man?
Oh, well, basically puzzles.
Well, I really like puzzles. So I don't
yeah. And I got two bases that were broken in the exact same spot shipped to me. I decided
I'm laughing,
to keep it though.
That's just incredible.
That one right there, the it's the Sterling by Music Man Pete Wentz signature model. It's very punchy. What I like I about it is actually it's a Music Man Stingray that's not active. It's actually a passive bass. Most of them are active.
That's cool.
It's also got a duck inlay on the 12th fret and a roasted maple neck, and it just matches all the rest of the gold shit behind me.
Yeah.
Yes.
It looks good, man. I dig
it. It's definitely a theme there.
But they sent me the first one, and I pulled out of the box, and the... So Ernie Ball does 3-in-1 on their headstock, so 3 on one side, 1 on the other. And the top one is the D string in this case, and the paddle had snapped off for the tuner machine. So I'm like, fuck. Yeah. So I sent it back to them. Z-Zounds, also where I got this from, insanely good customer service. I will say that, like, although this situation wasn't the most ideal situation, they handled it amazingly.
I've always had great interactions with them when I've had to.
Yeah.
They are amazing.
If you ever call, ask for Sam. That dude was fucking awesome. Super cool dude. He told me even remember his name because everyone there knows him. So you're the man, Sam.
Fucking A. Shout out to Sam from Zounds. Is it Zounds or Z-Zounds?
I think it's Zounds, but I call it Z-Zounds.
Z-Zounds.
Because why would they put two Z's if they didn't want me to call it
Z-Zounds.
Z-Zounds.
I like that one.
Z-Zounds.
My dad used to call it Chick-fil-A Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A.
For a really long time. Yeah.
I know a lot of people that call it Chick-a-fil-A. And I'm like, there's not even an A in it. What do you call
where's
that?
Where's the A?
I call it overrated.
Look, yeah. My favorite pizza lately is Blasé.
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 Can you buy it at Target?
No, you have to go to the unit. They make the pizza for you. Have you ever? No, but seriously, have you ever been to? It's not my favorite, but have you ever been to Blaze?
No, I have.
It's good.
Places, local places that do it better. So,
well, yeah. But I mean, like, if you just want,
we don't have Blaze up here. Not
if,
that
if
I know.
If you're in
of,
Florida, no. where you don't have like you know the motherland of pizzas, and you just have to get whatever fucking available.
I'm gonna correct you, dude. When I lived in Florida in the early 2000s, the pizza was trash. It was all bad.
There are
but
some
now,
places.
Dude.
But you know how much they want for a fucking pizza to make a quality one?
Yes, I do. Yeah,
that's the problem.
I do.
The Blasé, I can get that large pizza for like $8 and it's like however I want it. And it is fucking brick oven fired. It tastes good.
They're pretty tasty. You got all these places now around here, all these mom and pop places, and they're all from the Northeast. They're all from, you know, New York and Jersey and wherever.
Yeah.
And they're legit. Like, they're really good. It's cool to have that down here. And we got Italian bakeries down here, which we never had.
Yeah, but I don't want to drop $22 on a pizza.
Well, you have to if you want that. Oh, my God. It's worth it, dude. It's fucking worth it. When we moved. When was this? This would have been in like 2001 or two. Are you familiar with Hungry Howie's Pizza?
I had that for lunch yesterday.
Oh,
flavor crust.
Does it still say on the box for Hungry Howie's Juicy Pizza?
Oh, I don't know.
That's what it used to say.
Juicy. Oh,
Hungry Howie's is good. I ain't gonna fuck
it. It's not the word to describe pizza.
Well, it doesn't matter how good it is. If it says juicy pizza on the box, I'm not going to fucking eat it.
No, fuck
that. I don't know. I don't mind a juicy pizza.
Dude, it's funny. There's a place up in Worcester, Mass, called Juicy Seafood.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Juicy's not a word you use to describe seafood. It's just not. It's like calling it moist. It's like,
Well, it's moist before it's caught.
It's only two places you should see the word juicy. bubblegum and on the back of a pair of sweatpants. That's it.
What about on actual juice?
Nah.
Like, I mean, juicy juice?
I mean, juicy...
That's kind of...
A juicy burger. Like, okay, that works for me.
Yeah, that works, yeah.
Like Lucy... Juicy Lucy's? No, there's Excuse a place me? There's a place in Ocala called Juicy Lucy's, and they make hamburgers.
There was
okay.
There was a girl in my high school that had that.
Doug, what's new with you, man?
It wasn't just Lucy Lucy.
What's new with me? I was off this week. I'm actually off Monday too, so I'm very happy. So I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do anything, but it was a great week.
Yeah.
It was a good week. I listen, it was so good. I had all my notes and everything for this movie done Wednesday.
I know. You know,
I was done on Wednesday. Normally I'm done about 10 minutes before we're starting on Saturday night.
You know, when I actually pulled the clips,
I was done on Wednesday
about 2 hours ago.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was a very relaxing week. And, you know, Erica was home one day. So we had one day to hang out together. But otherwise, I was just on my own, and I didn't even leave the house. And it was the best week ever.
That sounds amazing. That's like my ideal vacation. Yeah,
it was. But otherwise, I ordered from Zazounds as well. I got a guitar coming tomorrow.
Check the tuning machines.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to check everything on it, please. I mean, I've had issues with some of the stuff I've gotten from them. And again, like you said, the customer service makes up for it. But hopefully this one arrives without a problem. But I'm excited. It's a Les Paul. I have a phone Les Paul.
Yes.
I'm definitely excited about it. So I'll report back when next episode how it is.
Yeah, I think it's fucking sweet, dude.
Hell yeah.
I forgot to tell you guys, I joined a band also.
Oh, what's the name?
Well, it's more of a dad rock band that plays around town locally at like farmers markets and stuff.
Yeah.
But, okay, but they were looking for a bass player, and I was like, I can play bass.
There you go.
Yeah, they're called Wrecking and Salvage, apparently, because they wreck the songs and then salvage what's left.
that's a pretty good name.
I was like, I like
that's
it.
That's creative. But that's cool.
Yeah, I'm
looking, good for you.
Good to have some fun. There were just cool-ass dudes. A lot of them I met at churches and played with over the years.
Yeah. That's excellent, man.
On the side, want to play fun music.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty rad, dude. That'll be fun. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Maybe come out.
You're not pressuring me. I'm not joining a band.
No? No band?
No, not for me. I'm all right. That would involve interacting with humans and going out, and I'm not doing either one of those.
Well, you do have to go out, but, you know, the interacting with humans is optional. You know what I mean?
Like, that's true. That's
yeah. True. Even the sound guy, you can just give a few nods to and
shout. Yeah.
Yeah,
very true.
Look, I just want to play bass again. Playing bass is fun.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
dude, that's exciting. Maybe come out to a farmer's market and see you guys or something. That'd be fucking sweet. Sell some art. Sell some art. Fuck yeah. I got to sell some art, dude. I'm fucking... You boys broke, man. If you want to buy some art, please hit me up. But that's in my previous life. You know what I mean? Like, that's the Eric Pabone that you're most familiar with as a listener to the show. It's not really me.
I'm waiting for someone to go ahead with it.
Yeah, are we going to get started?
Yeah, that was the famous Masters of the Cinematic Universe, no and.
Segue?
Yes.
That's called the Paul Blart because it's a terrible segue. So
we do have a movie tonight.
Let's get dangerous.
Yeah, it's pretty violent.
Yeah,
and it's got some history too. That's as good as you're gonna get from me.
Look,
that's as good as you're gonna get from me.
You get Ed Harris and you get a 300. I'm okay.
There you go. I figured you'd like that.
However, there was no Banyans in this movie, so that's going to knock it down some a little.
No, they don't have them in Indiana.
But there was something in this movie Jersey that I was not expecting to see.
Oh, yeah.
A couple things. Really rocked my world.
I wonder if it's the same thing I'm thinking of.
I hope so.
Well, actually, there was two of them. One of them happened in the beginning, which was consensual, and the other happened later, and it was not.
Oh, it was completely consensual, Joe.
Yeah.
Joe, the second one was 110% consensual.
Yeah, because I just slam people's faces into the wall.
and then I get slammed back.
And yeah, then, it was
still off-putting.
That's just cold angry.
Yeah, that's the makeup sesh right there.
But the first that's one angry. Was nice.
Yeah, well, I didn't pull either clip.
See, I don't think we're on the same page. When we get to that point, I'll let you know. But okay. There was something that really ruined my evening. I gotta be honest with you. It wasn't what you're talking about.
Oh, it wasn't a visual representation of Doug's age. In about 6 or 8 more years, 9 more years.
9 more years. Let's not rush things.
Okay. I saw that. I was like, is that really? Also, I don't know why, but in that scene, he just reminded me of Matthew Bellamy from Muse. I just kept like, that's what he looked like.
All right, we're derailing Doug here, man.
Yes.
Well, luckily it's a short movie that feels like it ended out of nowhere. So.
Oh yeah, I love the way it ended.
I was like, I thought, did I fuck the file up? I'm like, that couldn't be the end of the movie.
No, that was the end of the movie. It was about five minutes with zero dialogue. It was great.
Yeah, it was so weird. I'm like,
nope.
I was like, I thought like it was going to go to something else. And I was like, that was it.
There was meaning behind that. There was all planned.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that. So we are talking about the 2005 or 2006, depending on where you read it, movie History of Violence. It's directed by David Cronenberg, David Cronenberg, Jesus, Scanners, The Dead Zone, The Fly, Dead Ringers, Eastern Promises, and the list goes on and on and on. The guy's a genius. I mean, he is a suspense and horror genius. Absolutely love him. He's a twisted individual too in real life. Is based on the 1997 graphic novel of the same name by John Wagner and Vince Locke. But the script for this movie was heavily rewritten by Cronenberg. He didn't take credit for it, but apparently Viggo Mortensen said the first script he read was horrible. He was not excited. And then Cronenberg rewrote it and he fell in love with it. It's one of his favorite movies he's ever done, Viggo Mortensen. So
that's a hell of a rewrite to go from hate it to this is my favorite thing I've ever done.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, the original version didn't have any 69 in it.
There you go. There you go. Cronenberg is you know, he's noted for not holding things back. You know, so he has no problem laying it out, you know, as plain as day, if that's what needs to be done, if he feels that's what needs to be done. William Hurt was nominated for an Oscar for this, his role in this whole 10 minutes screen time, best supporting actor. He didn't win. I forget who won, but that's pretty cool. And I think the coolest thing I found out about this movie, is the fact that it is the last movie ever officially released on VHS.
Oh my God.
2006 is the last movie ever released on VHS. And then everything switched over to DVD. So I think that's a really, really cool little tidbit for this flick.
It's too bad they didn't call it
wanna...
some historical violence, because then backwards it would be VHS.
Yes.
That makes me want to go on eBay and find a copy of this fucking tape.
Yeah, like, right? Yeah, I know. Cool. I know. And then just lastly, before we jump in, and we're going to run a clip in a second, Joe, both Thomas Jane and Harrison Ford turned down the role of Tom Stahl in this. Both of them could have done it, I think, but it would have been really weird seeing Harrison Ford in this role.
Yeah.
But I also understand, based on the script and some of the stuff we've already touched on, why Harrison Ford didn't take the role. it's not him. It's definitely not him. So, so we're going to open this with our.
I don't give women oral sex.
We're going to start with a clip. So when you're ready, Joe.
Whew. Should we keep heading east?
Yeah, that's the idea.
Stay out of the big cities?
Uh-huh.
I think I'm tired.
Yeah, me too. Here. Bring it on up to the office. I'm gonna go check us out.
Took you so long?
Nothing. I had a little trouble with the maid, but everything's fine now.
Yeah. So we meet Leland and Billy. Right, they're some bad dudes, played by Stephen McHattie and Greg Burke, I believe is his name. They're both Canadian, by the way. This whole movie was shot in Canada. Cronenberg's Canadian, and he likes to shoot his stuff in Canada when he can and keep it home. So a lot of Canadian actors in this movie. You kind of get the idea just from that scene that, you know, they didn't check out. That some violence was done in that office. It's kind of funny watching that too, the way Billy straightens the chair out when they leave, because it's important to him. And, you know, he gives the key to Leland to check out, even though he knows exactly what Leland's going to do. It's kind of weird. They're definitely psychopaths, but with a conscience. I don't know. I don't even know how to phrase it.
Weird.
Like, it's fucked up, you know? That scene continues, and I didn't want to show it. Well, I'm sorry, Eric. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it felt very Tarantino in that.
Yeah.
You know, it was people doing odd things, and it seems important when you're looking at it. And it's also, I mean, that was like one take. Like, that was a crazy long take.
I know. It's funny that, you know, he goes to check out, but, you know, they only drive 15 feet up the way there. It's just a lot of odd stuff, but I didn't want to show the whole scene because it gets pretty graphic. So before they leave, Leland realizes they don't have enough water for their travels, so he sends Billy inside to get something. There's a cooler inside. He says, go get some water. And when Billy goes in, you know, everything that we thought happened is shown. Right, the desk clerk and the maid are both dead. There's blood everywhere. Billy starts filling up the gallon jug of water he's got, and he hears a noise, and there's a little girl who was hiding in the office. She's clutching her little doll, and she's scared. And he calms her down, but as he's calming her down, he reaches behind his belt, pulls out a gun, and he shoots her. You don't actually see that, but, you know,
You
watch them fire the gun. So these guys are brutal. I mean, they're just awful human beings. really cool transition when the gun fires. It cuts to a little girl in bed screaming. And we are about to meet the Stahl family, our protagonists for this movie. Little girl screaming in bed is Sarah Stahl, played by Heidi Hayes. She woke up from a bad dream about monsters. We're going to meet the rest of the family. So first there's Dad, Tom Stahl, played by Viggo Mortensen. Mom, we meet Mom Edie, played by Maria Bello. And then Sarah's older brother, Jack, played by Ashton Holmes. And we cut to the next morning. Everybody's at breakfast. And, you know, there's a lot of simple but necessary setup in the beginning of this movie just to show, you know, the family life that the Stahls have. You know, it's sort of like all American family life. They breakfast together before they go about their day. They just talk about what's going to happen during the day, you know, just typical parent child interactions. Another cool fact I saw is that Maria Bello plays Jack's mom, but she's only 11 years older than him in real life, the actor.
No, sure.
Yeah. So it's a little weird, but, so yeah, so they, you know, they're having their breakfast. They go before they go about their respective days. We're going to have a clip in a second, Joe. Edie drives Tom into town and he heads to the diner that he owns. It's an idyllic little town called Millbrook in Indiana. It's one of those one traffic light, one main drag. Everybody knows everybody else, you know, and again, it's all just set up for what's to come. And then we've got our next clip.
It's wild.
Hey, Tom.
Morning, Pat.
Hey, Mick.
Tom, Charlotte's gonna be a little late this morning.
Is she drunk again?
Yeah, I guess.
Hey, who's the craziest woman you ever dated?
Me?
Yeah. Mick and me, we're talking about some of the girls we went with.
Uh-huh.
He once dated a girl, used to attack him in the middle of the night.
What?
Yeah. She used to have these crazy goddamn dreams where instead of her boyfriend, I was some kind of demented killer. I woke up one night, stuck a goddamn fork in my shoulder.
Oh, you kidding me?
Oh, I'm spurting blood. She's sitting there crying, going, baby, I love you, I love you.
So what happened? You broke up with her, right?
No, I married her. It lasted 6 years. Always perfect, Tom.
I guess not.
That's just a funny little story. That's why I put that in the clips, just because it's just small town banter, yep. You know? I married her. And then, you know, it lasted 6 years. That's not so bad, right? I guess. I don't know. So we're now at the high school where Jack is nervously playing right field during a gym class softball game. The local bully, Bobby Singer, played by Kyle Schmidt, and you can tell he's the bully just by the look on his face when he comes off the bat. You know who he is, right? He's the bully in every high school in America. He confident comes up to bat. He smashes a ball out into right field, right at Jack, who, as nervous as he is, surprisingly makes the catch. To end the game. Bobby is obviously not happy about this. And sorry, Joe. We got another clip.
Does he think you're hot shit, huh, Stahl?
What? No, I don't.
Little hero here, huh? Little superstar here. Little hero saves the day at the last minute, right?
Bobby, it's just the game, okay? It's just stupid gym class.
Who are you calling stupid?
No, I said gym class was stupid.
No, I said gym class was...
Listen to this little faggot.
Yeah, you're right. I'm both little and a faggot. You got me dead to rights.
Come on, chicken shit, let's do this!
What'll be the point? I mean, you win. You win. You win. You established your alpha male standing. You've established my unworthiness. Doing violence to me just seems pointless and cruel. Don't you think?
Let's do this, you punk bitch!
Shouldn't that be little punk-ass chicken shit faggot bitch?
You there, Joe?
Yep.
God!
Okay, it froze on our side.
All right, so my beef with this bully is how you gonna hit a fucking pop fly into right field? It's not like motherfucker dove for the ball. Like, he just stood there and caught a pop fly.
Exactly. Wait. Yep. He got under the ball, and that was the end of it. You know?
That's
know.
The beef you have?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh my
not
God,
the
dude.
Fragrant use of the F word for gays?
I know. Yeah, this is 2006. So,
yeah, so it was acceptable to use that word then, apparently.
Yes.
Also, I don't
last movie on VHS and last movie to use the F word for gays.
Exactly. I don't know why, but I just kept picturing him as the fuck, what's that kid's name? He's in like everything. Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh yeah, they yeah. look exactly alike.
They even
You're
talk like
right.
when he was saying that,
You're
like, all right, you win. Like, he just reminded me of him.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right. It's like he missed his shot to be Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, yeah. When like when you that when I mean? That scene like, first came on, and I was like half watching it because I was building the puzzle. Yeah. I was like
he's like the
like yeah. Eisenberg's in this. And I was like, wait, that's not him.
He's like the collective soul of rock. Like, they just missed. Yeah. They're really good, but they just missed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I yes. So the bully he is. And I don't know, because I know Cronenberg has a thing for Stephen King stuff. He reminded me very much of like the typical Stephen King bully that's in King's books and any movies that are made. You know, almost has that greaser look, and you know,
yeah.
The actor did a serviceable job. I mean, he definitely got the point across that he's a dick. So,
oh yeah, know. Yeah,
yeah. So it's the end of the day now, and Edie's waiting for Tom as he closes the diner. On the drive home, Edie explains that they have the house all to themselves. So when they arrive home, what happens? Sexy time happens. Sorry to disappoint folks. I didn't pull the clip. She dresses as a cheerleader because they didn't have time together in high school. So
wait, hold on. Before you dig in, yeah. I want you to guess at which moment I paused the movie when my kids ran into the room.
The flashing, the flashing of the pussy when she like lifts her dress up.
No, no, it was just as she knelt down.
To
service him.
Oh no. Yep.
Says, you know, and we're, like I said, I mentioned before, we're a fairly atheist household. Oh, she's praying. I don't know what she's doing. I don't know.
Yeah.
She's praying. He's spraying.
It's a fairly graphic scene.
I'd say so. Yeah.
You know, I
applaud that. That was the first time I can remember seeing like a realistic transition into the 69 in a movie.
Yes.
I don't exactly. think I've ever seen 69 in a movie. Like,
no, I. No, that's not, you know, specifically made for that.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree.
I was like, what the hell is going on in this movie, Doug picked?
Yeah. I know.
You didn't get bonus points. I mean, you lost points for no Banyans, but you gained points for that.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's Cronenberg. He if he feels it's important, it's in there. That's the way he works.
I mean, like,
you
know? Was regular sex wouldn't have been like important too? Or
No. It was a graceful. It felt very real. I will say, it felt very.
Yes.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Of like, I was like, that did not expect that. I was like, okay, all right.
It was a nice. It was a nice surprise, just like in real life. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So afterwards, after sexy time's done. They're laying in bed, and Tom's talking about knowing the first time Edie fell in love with him just by the look in her eyes. You could tell, that she fell in love with him, and he loved her too. And this part of the scene is just definitely to drive home the point of how much they love each other. I mean, this, yeah. It wasn't just sex. They're absolutely head over heels in love with each other, even after all these years.
But I mean, also,
they've been married for 18, 20 years, probably, because, you know, Jack has got to be 15, 16, 17 at this point. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but this, she had him when she was 11, like, so.
No, that's true.
It seems like one of those sneaky Cronenberg rewrite things where that dialogue becomes super important, especially like at the end of the movie.
Yes. You know? Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Next night we're in town and we see Jack and his friend, Judy Danvers. They're hanging out, getting high, and they're just talking about being trapped in little town, and never being able to get out. Typical kid conversation is what happens. Across the street, Bobby and his little toady, didn't even bother getting the guy's name. it's like a Christmas story. There's the bully yeah. and there's the toady, right? He's the toady. They pull up and they're eyeballing the two of them. Bobby's hatching a plan to take care of Jack. As they drive off, they cut off a pickup truck, and they cross paths with Leland and Billy. And you can see just by their presence, they scare the shit out of Bobby. Like, he's like, the toady's like, who is that? I don't know, and I don't want to know. And he leaves. That's how threatening Leland and Billy are, just by a glance, that they're scaring the town bully. This leads to our first it's not the first crazy part of this movie. There's already been two or three, but this next clip is the meeting. Leland and Billy, they get to meet Tom Stahl.
Can I just say how sick I am of these podunk towns and the goddamn podunks who live in them?
Think you keep saying that, it's actually going to change anything?
I am so sick of this shit.
Yeah, you made that clear like 10,000 miles ago. Now, if you haven't got a better idea, I don't want to hear about it anymore.
We are so goddamn broke.
Yeah, well, that's easy to fix.
You gonna go shoot pool with Jared?
Maybe.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Mick. Good as ever. There you go. See you in church.
Yep. Have a good evening.
You too. See you tonight, Charlotte.
Yeah, see ya.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right, old fella.
He's closing up, fellas.
Coffee? Black.
Same. I'll have some pie. Some of that lemon meringue
guys,
pie.
Guys, I'm sorry. We're closed. I said...
Coffee!
Okay. I guess we can handle that. It's not very fresh.
You can go home now, Charlotte. Just leave the pie.
Okay. Boy. I think you're gonna be sticking around for a while, honey.
Tom?
Here. You gentlemen are certainly welcome to all of it.
Well, I know that, asshole. Believe me, I do know that. Shut up, bitch! Okay, Billy. Let's show this asshole we mean business.
What? Her.
Yes, her. Door!
For some pie.
Yep. Right? So Leland and Billy are no more. Tom handled that shit pretty professionally. You know, hint, hint.
That's what I knew. I really liked this movie. Not because of the gratuitous gore, but although that was cool. But just because I like movies that spend a lot of time showing you a character and then you never see them again.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
I know. Yeah, they were there for a reason. They served their purpose, and now we get to move on. One little interesting thing I read is that the little part of that scene where Billy, he's got, I forget her name, the waitress's name.
Charlotte,
yeah, and he grabs her breast and he smells his hand. The two of them worked that out in between takes. They wanted to establish, you know, the craziness of the whole thing. So they decided to do that. They worked it out between themselves and Cronenberg liked it and let him do it. So
that's fucking wild. You know what would be really cool? What if in this scene, and just hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
What if?
I got an idea for some art.
I got an idea for some art. What if after I threaten you, I kind of just like swipe your tit and she's all like, yeah, I like that. I like that. But you know what would be better? Is if you smelled your hand after. What?
Yep. That could be how it all panned out. But yeah, that it was like a nice little touch.
Joke that went wrong.
Yes, exactly.
Like, I bet. Like, I bet you won't grab my tit. Yeah, well, I bet you I will, and I'll smell my hand afterwards.
And yeah, and Eric, you already mentioned the gore. That's obviously another Cronenberg staple.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Scanners.
Scanners.
What are we doing that one?
Fucking A. Maybe that's what I'll do next. Scanners.
My favorite thing about Scanners is how he did the head explosion scene.
Oh, yeah.
You know how he did that?
How did he do it?
They created a rubber head of the actor, and they filled it with blood, and they shot it with a shotgun.
Done.
That's how he fucking did it.
Cut and print.
Exactly. That's how they did it. And Scanners. Oh God, I saw that in the theaters, and we walked out of that like zombies. We were so shocked. What the fuck just happened? You know. So Tom, because of his heroism, Tom is the toast of the town. He's a celebrity. He's on the news. He's everywhere. His tale of heroism is shared far and wide, and Tom's in the hospital room watching this stuff, and we can see there's some concern on his face as he watches this from his hospital bed. We don't know why yet, but he doesn't want any kind of notoriety, and now he can't help it. He's all over the news, probably all over the country. Edie arrives at the hospital to take Tom home, and they're greeted on the way out by what looks like almost the entire community, thanking him for his heroism. When they get home, they're jumped by another news crew, so the family heads inside. Edie takes a peek outside and spots a car across the street, the aforementioned Chrysler 300. Yes. What?
Only gangsters drive a Chrysler 300, right, Joe?
Oh, yeah. I mean, pretty much.
Yeah. So, she mentions it, and Tom goes to the window and takes a look. He sees the car drive off, and you can see some more concern on his face again. We don't know why, but there's something spooking him about the whole thing. So We are now, it's the next morning or a few mornings later. We're back at the diner. We're going to have a clip coming up, Joe. We're back at the diner. The place is packed more than even usual just because of what transpired. They're all happy it's back open, and they'd rather support Tom and his family.
Hey,
Burger and BLT's on.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Can
you go to the shop?
Sure.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Bill.
Hi, honey.
Hi, baby. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. Brings you back.
Just want to see how you're doing.
Doing good. Business is great. Just can't keep up.
Yeah, it's busy. Oh, look, more reporters. Nice.
They don't look like reporters.
Grilled cheese is ready. Got fries and strawberry shake.
Well, welcome to Stalls. Would you gentlemen like some coffee?
You're the hero.
I don't know, sir.
You're the big hero. Sure took care of those two bad men.
Really don't like talking about it, sir. We're trying to get back to normal here. So can I offer you gentlemen some coffee?
Sure. Give me some coffee. Make it black.
Yes, sir.
Joey.
And your friends?
They don't drink coffee. Doesn't agree with them. Joey.
It's Joey.
You are.
I'm your huckleberry.
My name's Tom, sir.
Of course it is. It's good coffee.
Thank you, sir.
Hard to find coffee that's good in Philadelphia. But you know that, don't you, Tom?
No, actually, I don't. I've never been to Philadelphia. Pennsylvania? Is that where you gentlemen from?
Yeah, like you don't know.
Sorry, do you think we know each other?
You tell me.
No. We don't know each other.
Come on, Joey. Cut the crap.
My name is Tom.
Joey Cusack. Your name is Joey Cusack. You're from Philly.
Okay. Whatever.
Excuse me, gentlemen. If you're not going to order anything, my husband and I would appreciate it if you would be on your way.
We ate on the road.
It's all right. It's okay. We really are very busy here today, as you can see. So if you gentlemen aren't going to be eating, I really should offer your seats to paying customers.
Well. Now we're paying customers.
I can't take this.
Shouldn't be a problem for you.
What is that supposed to mean?
Now, Mr. Fogarty's just making conversation here, right?
Well, whatever you want to call it, this conversation is over.
I think he wants us to leave, Mr. Fogarty.
Do you know what he does when he don't like people, Mr. Fogarty?
Yeah, I'm scared. We should leave before he goes all dirty hairy on us. I want to thank you for the coffee, Joey. It really is very good.
It's Tom. My name's Tom Stahl.
Yeah. So now things become a little bit more clear, sort of, kind of. You know, based on Tom's actions with Leland and Billy and his the quick acting heroism, we see that he might be hiding something. And we can see why he was worried when he was on the news and when he saw the car.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's Carl Fogarty.
I feel like this is my family fucking with me too, because they like to call me Joey, even though I don't like it.
That's the Italian part of it, Joe.
Yeah,
it is. You know? Joey.
So my name.
Yeah. From Philly.
Joey. The Philly accents in this movie are wild to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that they're just not.
No, I know. They are not. And it's funny, apparently, that Viggo Mortensen talked to Maria Bello's uncle and cousin. They're both from Philly. And he mm-hmm. got sort of like speech pattern lessons from them, but it didn't work out too well.
No. That's a hard accent to do.
Oh, it is. It's very unique. Yeah. Very unique. So
I wasn't happy that Ed Harris wasn't the guy from Westworld in this movie. That's all I wanted to be.
Yeah, it's still Ed Harris, man. It's still
I just
Ed
want
Harris.
Him to be the Man in Black.
That guy's amazing.
Oh, he's really awesome. Yeah.
And I read a thing in an interview. Viggo Mortensen shared that he had a laughing problem during that scene. He kept laughing, so it got so nuts that Ed Harris took his pants off on purpose and told him. So Viggo Mortensen knew he wasn't wearing pants, but you can't see it because he's sitting at the counter. So the scene that they use in the movie is that Ed Harris is not wearing any pants,
and that's supposed to make him laugh less.
No, that was supposed to fuck with him even more, make him look harder and not laugh.
Is this method acting that I don't know about?
No, Ed Harris was busting his balls, so he took his pants off.
He's doing something to his balls.
There you go. Yes. So we meet the crew from Philly, and they're on to Tom, apparently. We're gonna find out. So we saw that Edie called the sheriff's department, and that put Sheriff Sam Carney on the case. Next scene, we see him following Fogarty's car, presumably out of town, or they're driving somewhere anyway. He pulls him over. So as he's checking IDs, the crew is typical mob, menacingly polite, I'll call it.
Yep.
They're extremely polite, but they're very menacing. They're not at all threatened by the sheriff. Sam lays down the law, letting them know that in Millbrook, they look out for their own. Yes, officer, blah, blah, blah. They give them the fucking bullshit, and they're on their way. We're now back at Tom's house. Sam has come over to talk to Tom and Edie. He lets them know that he ran checks on the men and that they are rough customers with ties to organized crime. Sam is concerned and flat out asks Tom if he's part of a witness protection program. Tom adamantly denies this. Edie thinks Sam is crazy too. Tom does his best to convince Sam that it's a case of mistaken identity. Sam also lets them know he did some digging on this Joey Cusack that they kept calling Tom, but found nothing. He did, however, find information on a Richie Cusack, who's the head of the crime syndicate that the three guys are a part of. The next morning, Tom walks to work. He walks to the diner. While he's sitting inside, he spots Fogarty. To me, it's always Fogarty, but whatever.
Yeah, it's weird because he keeps calling him Fogarty.
Yeah, even his guys call him Fogarty, Mr. Fogarty. I always thought it was Fogarty, but that's fine. Tom looks out onto the street in front of the diner and sees Fogarty's car. And as it drives off, he panics and he frantically runs towards home, or he limps towards home because his foot got stabbed. He's calling Edie to tell her to get the shotgun ready because the bad guys are headed to the house. So Edie prepares for the worst. She's kind of hyped up based on Tom's phone call, and she almost shoots him as he gets home. they realize that the bad guys aren't coming, and they chalk it up to PTSD on Tom's part based on all the recent events, and everybody calms down. A concerned Jack starts questioning his dad about everything. Tom updates him on Fogarty's visit to the diner and lets Jack know that it's definitely a case of mistaken identity. Jack is worried that mistaken identity or not, the men are here to do harm to the family. Tom does his best to calm Jack down. So at this point, we're gonna jump in. We'll take our first break. We'll definitely wrap this one up with the next segment. So we'll be back in a few, folks.
Yeah.
Hey
Hey guys, we've got to that point in the show where we need to start depending on listeners like you to help keep this thing going.
What are we, fucking PBS?
Oh yeah, you know it. I'm LeVar Burton.
I wanted to be LeVar. Fuck. All right.
I caught it first. Yeah, I'm hosting Jeopardy.
Are you, though? Listen, guys, we need your help. To help keep the lights on, as they say, we are launching our Patreon for Masters of the Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
Yes.
And we have different tiers that you can sign up for and pledge to, just like PBS. You get some different real cool gifts and prizes and merch, depending on the tier that you sign up for.
Oh, we got all the tiers.
Oh, yeah. You can either be a friend of the show, friend with benefits.
Ooh.
We could start to get serious, or you could just put a ring on it already.
Yeah. Ooh, damn. And if you exceed that amount, you know, we'll send you some not safe for work pics if you want.
It's not safe for your eyes pics in my case, but
not safe for anything pics.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, check out patreon.com/motcu. Take a look at all the different tiers that we're offering. Lots of cool swag coming your way, from stickers to t-shirts to getting to pick the film that we talk about.
Yeah. The tiers started at $1. $1 a month. Come on,
what?
Folks.
That's it?
Yep. $1 to get in on that number one tier.
And all with right. that, you even get the live chat with us anytime you want, as well as a shout out on every episode.
Right. So, come on, that's less than a cup of coffee a month.
Jesus, what a steal. Yeah, guys, right? Check it out. Again, patreon.com/motcu.
And then, enjoy this week's movie.